Okay, once again, we could open our Bibles to Genesis 6. The title of the Sunday school lesson this morning is Salvation in the Ark. And this is a very, very familiar story. I'm sure everybody here has heard it, and probably everyone you know has heard this story. And I have to confess that if you're looking for something new, you're going to be disappointed with this. But the Lord has told us to search the Scriptures, for in them we see Him. So let's look at this Scripture one more time and see if we can rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to answer 5 questions this morning with this message about Noah's Ark. Number 1, why did God send the flood? 2nd question, what was different about Noah? I'd then like to look at how Noah is a picture of Christ, then how the ark is a picture of Christ, and finally, how can we be found in the ark? So, if the Lord would bless this to our hearing, we'll look first at why did God send the flood? So, if we open to Genesis 6, and look at verses 5 and 7, we can get that answer right from Scripture. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. So here we see the answer. The reason the flood was sent, the reason the world was destroyed, was the wickedness of man. Man was wicked through and through, not just outwardly, but every imagination of his heart is evil continually. Our best thoughts are evil continually. And I want to be careful here when we read this and we see that it grieved the Lord and that it caused God to repent. Those words are words that don't jive with our understanding of the God of this Bible. God knew man would sin. God knows everything before it ever happens. God chose a people in Christ that he was going to save from before the foundation of the earth. Ephesians 4:1 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of this world. So here we have another example that we see throughout the Bible where God's mind is so much above our minds that we get off track. This is just using words that we understand to try to express the mind of God that we cannot understand. That God was not surprised by the sin of Noah. He's not surprised by our sin. He knew it, and he purposed to save some people through Christ before the foundation of the world. And I want to also look at, well, someone might ask, why has the world gone on since Noah? this world is no less evil than in the time of Noah. Men are no less evil, but it seems the Lord continues to let it spin in the universe. And the only reason for that is that God is a covenant God. If you look in your Bible, that's pretty early, the story of Noah in the ark. This is a very early picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's pointing men very early in our history towards Christ, showing us that there is hope, that regardless of how sinful we are, how evil we are, there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. That God is keeping this earth moving for the sake of his elect. And the flood, it's a fact. It's a historical fact, but it's so much more than that. It's a picture of what's going to happen. This world is going to be destroyed again. Now, God made covenant that it won't be destroyed through a flood. That's why we have rainbows. That's why when we went to bed last night, it was pouring the rain and the wind was blowing. Nobody was worried that this was the end of the world. But it is going to be destroyed. But it is also going to continue for the sake of God's elect until then. When that last sheep is called into the fold, we're going to be, this world, this old world is going to go away. It's going to be populated, a new world with people who are like Christ, perfectly sinless in Him, righteous, without sin. So, the next question I had was, what was different about Noah? Well, once again, let's look at Genesis and see the answer to that. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. And it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." This is the very first time that the word grace was used in the Bible. There was nothing different about Noah. He was a sinner, just like all the rest of the men on earth, in his mind and in his actions. But God showed grace to Noah. We've often heard the definition of grace as giving someone something that they don't deserve. Well, what did God give Noah that in his own self he did not deserve? Let's look at the next verse. Chapter 9. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Through his grace, God made Noah righteous. He gave him a righteousness that he could never earn of his own. He was made righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the religion of the world gets these two verses reversed, doesn't it? We think that people are righteous, and then grace comes next, because that's us looking inward. But it's very clear in the Bible that God showed grace on Noah, and then God made him righteous. And he made him righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in Christ can a man walk with God. Christ, he did everything that the Father gave him to do. And in Jesus Christ, we're righteous. And it says, if we go to Genesis chapter 7, 1, I want to just look real quickly. "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." God saw Noah as righteous. And God doesn't see things that aren't. He sees things we can't see, but he doesn't see things that aren't. This isn't God overlooking his sin. This isn't God saying, "I'm going to do this and pretend that you're righteous." Or God actually made Noah righteous. God sees things as they are. God saw Noah as righteous. And it also says he walked with God. Let's not make any mistake about this. If a man is born again in the Lord Jesus Christ, his walk is going to be different. Now, don't look to yourself and think, "Oh, I'm such a sinner still." Don't worry about that. Your walk is going to be different. You've got a different desire. You have a desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a desire to know God. You have a desire to stop the sinning that you know you can't stop. We're going to fall. We're going to turn away. We're going to chase some tasty tuft of grass. But the shepherd's going to pull us back. He's not going to let us go. And our walk, our bent, our general direction in life is going to be towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so the third question I had was, how does Noah picture Christ? And once again, I want to be careful here. You know, when we look at men as a picture of Christ, we have to remember that they're men. Noah is sinful as any man that ever lived. And we'll see, you know, if you continue reading, you'll think, "Why did he do that?" Well, sin, right? But so it's not a perfect picture of Christ. However, in building the ark, Noah does picture the work of Christ for salvation for his people. So let's look at that. In Genesis 6, 13 through 16, let's look at the building of the ark. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And in this fashion, which thou shalt make of it, the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark thou shalt set in the side thereof, with lower section, and third story shalt thou make it. This work that Noah was given to do is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in eternity past was given a people to save. Noah in this picture is the God-man, Jesus Christ. He's the only man that was ever given a work to complete for spiritual salvation. So that we can see this as a very, very clear picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Work was given for salvation. And as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world lived to work out the righteousness required for and died to pay the debt for his people, so Noah was given a work as well. I want to read just a few scriptures that go along with that. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. This is Christ saying, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business? He had work to do. Hebrews 10, 9 through 10. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So there we see that in building the ark, Noah is a picture of Christ. I want to continue our reading in verse 18 of chapter 6. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Here we see a picture of the covenant that God established with the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity past. God establishes a covenant with Noah that he and his family will be together in the ark, and that they will survive this flood, that they will continue to live. Even so, God the Father made a covenant with the Son of God in eternity past, that all those who God gave him would be together with him in glory. John 17, 24, I'm sure you all are familiar with this. John 17 just seems to be one of my favorite passages of Scripture. But 17, 24, the Lord says, Father, I will all that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. We see in the New Testament Christ praying for the fulfillment of this picture we see in the Old Testament, to be with him in glory. Let's look at verses 19 and 20. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth that after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Here we see a great picture of Christ drawing his people to him. We see first that God tells Noah to bring them. Then in the next verse we see that they shall come. This is an excellent picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who draws his people to him, and yet they're made willing in the day of his power. John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. They were given to Christ, and Christ drew them to himself, but then they were made willing. They came to him. We see that again in Genesis 7, verse 9, There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. God commanded Noah, but they went in. They went in two and two. They went into the ark, unto Noah, into the ark. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only person that we can go to for salvation. That's how Noah is a picture of Christ. You know, we think about that all the time. How in the world did Noah get all these animals into the ark? You know, I can't even get my cats to come to me, right? Yet two of every animal in the world came into that ark. It could not have happened without God giving them that will. They were drawn and they were made willing. As it says in Psalm 110, verse 3, "Thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power, and the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." Then in verse 6:22, let's just finish this up with Noah. "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." No man ever, but the God-man, Christ Jesus, ever did everything that God commanded them. This is such a clear picture of Christ. Christ accomplished the work that the Father gave him to do. Just a few scriptures to show that. John 6, 38 through 39. "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." John 17, 4 again. Christ is talking about his finished work. "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work without which thou gavest me to do." See, here we see Christ did the Father's will in all things. Even when he was praying in that garden, in great drops of blood, he sweated great drops of blood just at the mere thought of our sin that was going to be made his. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." One more thing. Remember earlier we said that this world is still here because God is a covenant God. God made a covenant with Noah. That's another picture of how Noah is a picture of Christ. God made that covenant with Christ in eternity past that his people would be saved through the ark, through Christ. In Genesis 9 through 17, God establishes a covenant with Noah and his seed that he will not destroy the earth with another flood. That's between God and Noah and every living creature that is with him. That's a wonderful picture of the covenant that God made the Lord Jesus Christ, that all his people will be preserved in him, will be righteous in him, will be sinless in him. So I want to look now briefly at how the ark pictures Christ. And I'm sure you all are very, very familiar with much of what I'm about to say. We've heard these things time and again, but as I said earlier, I want to just take some time to look at this again and to ponder and to think about our Lord Jesus Christ and the beauty of these pictures that we have in this Old Testament, in the New Testament commentaries that we have, and see Christ. So the very name Ark is a picture of Christ. Now, we may not think of that because in our minds this story is so familiar and it's so out there in the world, and you see children's nursery painting, you know, wallpaper with the ark, and we see this big boat. So we think, when we hear the word ark, we think boat. But that's not what that word means. The word ark, think of the Ark of the Covenant. The word ark means a chest, literally a treasure chest. It's where someone puts their treasure. And let's turn real quickly to Psalm 35:4. Or I'm sorry, it's Psalm 135, verse 4. So an ark is a treasure chest. What is God's treasure? Let's look at Psalm 135, verse 4. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Those supplanters, those dirty Jacobs, are made princes of God, the treasure of God being placed in that ark. That treasure chest is a place of protection and security. You know, you don't put your treasure in a shoebox. You put it in a secure place where you know it's going to be secure, where you know it's going to be preserved. So I thought that was interesting that the very word ark means treasure chest, and we are God's treasure put in that chest, put in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the physical construction of the ark pictures Christ. We read it earlier in verses 14 through 16. That ark was made of gopher wood. Does anybody here know what gopher wood was? I'm going to say you don't, because nobody knows definitively what gopher wood was. A lot of people think it was cypress. Cypress was abundant in that area. Cypress floats. Cypress is resistant to rot. It's very strong. So a lot of people have theorized that gopher wood is cypress. And that would be a good picture of our Lord. You know, it's very, very strong. It resists the rot of sin in this world. But the fact is, we don't know that it was cypress. What we do know is that the term gopher wood was written right here in Genesis. This is the only place in the Bible we see the term gopher wood. This is the only place in Hebrew writings we see the term gopher wood. That gopher wood had one purpose. It was to make the ark. That represents the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ. God was made man. He was given a body for that one purpose. That body only showed up one time. The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Its purpose was to save God's people. It's not, we can theorize all we want. You know, people cannot believe that God was made man. But that gopher wood is just a great picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, and that wood, that flesh, endured the wrath of God. When that rain came down, it fell on that wood. It fell on the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ. He, on the cross, paid our debt. That's just an amazing picture. It was pitched within and without. Pitch. What's pitch? Pitch is the sap of trees. It's like pine tar. It's literally the blood of the tree. And it was pitched within and without. And I don't think I'm making a stretch to say that sap represents the blood of God, of Christ. In fact, that same word is translated elsewhere in the Bible as atonement or covering. It was pitched within and without with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That ark, that wood, that flesh wasn't enough without the pitch. Without the pitch, the wrath of God comes in. Without the blood, without the sacrifice, without the death of the Lord Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ, without that body being put to death, there is no remission of sin. There is no covering. The blood. Christ had to die. And that blood kept one drop of God's wrath from everyone within. Nothing came through that blood. It was a total, complete, effectual covering. There was one window in the ark, and it was above all the light that they had while they were in the ark came through that one window. That signifies the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one light of the world, and he is above all. In John chapter 9, verse 5, Christ says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." That window, that one window for light, represents our Lord Jesus Christ. There was one door. Christ himself tells us that he's the one door for salvation. John 10, verse 9, he says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." We have to go through the door with the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And that door was in the side of the ark. You're probably picturing that spear thrust in the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where salvation was found. Outpoured water and blood. Water to cleanse. Blood for the sacrifice for sin. It's that double cure that we sing about in Rock of Ages. And there were three floors in that ark. Three floors, yet one ark. That represents the three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that one purpose, the salvation of sinners. There was no steering or oars in that ark. There's no sail. There wasn't anything that man could do to steer that ark for salvation. Man was put inside that ark, and they were saved by the ark through nothing, no work of their own. They didn't steer to the first sight of land they saw. They didn't row. They didn't put up a sail. Salvation is completely through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're dependent on him for salvation. Now, that doesn't mean there's no work to be done. Noah was a busy man. Noah had to feed those animals. There was work to be done, but that work was in the ark. That work is in Christ. And what was the work that he did? The same work that Christ told Peter to do. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Preach the word. Tell sinners about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the work that we have to do, and it's not for duty, it's not for salvation, it's for love. It's one sinner telling another sinner, look to Christ, look to Christ. I'm like you, I'm a sinner. There's nothing I can do to save myself. But look to Christ, seek to be put in the Lord Jesus Christ. The ark was the one way of deliverance. There's only one way that man could be delivered, that man could be saved, and it was to be found in that ark. To be found in the Lord Jesus Christ is the one way for salvation. when the water came down, everything that wasn't in the ark was overwhelmed, it was drowned. That water stood above even the highest mountain. But yet that ark was above all. It floated above that, and it provided salvation for God's people. Only those found in Christ will be spared from the death to come. All those who are not in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be destroyed. That ark was big enough for all who came. You know, a lot of people think that election limits God, but it doesn't. Everyone who came to that ark, it was big enough for them. And everyone that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will in no wise cast out. His love, his grace, his mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ is big enough for all who will. Whosoever will come will be saved. And only those chosen by God would enter the ark. In 2 Peter verses 2 through 5, it says, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. As we talked about earlier, as he was building that ark, that was testifying that the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming. You need to be in this ark. That ark was completely built and stood there for 7 days before the rain came. All those animals coming to the ark, going into the ark. but only the ones that were drawn by God came. There were all the other people that were around, none of them came. It was big enough for any that came, but only the ones that God drew to Himself would go into that ark. As we talked about again in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him. He will not cast you out. And then finally, those who came were sealed in the ark. They didn't pull the door shut. God sealed them in. Just as the Holy Spirit seals us in the ark of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're preserved there. Not of our own will, not of our own doing. But God who drew us is going to seal us in that ark. And we're secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. They went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut them in. Not only does that irresistible call of election cause people to go to Christ, but the power of God keeps them there. And then, as I said earlier, that ark was lifted up to endure the wrath of God. That signifies our Lord Jesus Christ being lifted up on that cross. He was given a name above every name, that at the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. That ark had the preeminence. It was above everything in this world, and that's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we've talked about why we needed that ark. We've talked about what makes Noah different, the grace of the Lord. We've talked about how Noah can represent a picture of Christ and how that ark is a picture of Christ. But here we come to the final question, the question. How can we be found in that ark? How can we be in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, for the answer to that. Let's look at the New Testament commentary on this scripture. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. It's through faith that we can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be found in the ark. Noah believed God and looked to that ark for salvation. He looked to that picture of Christ for salvation. He looked to Christ for salvation, knowing that he had nothing to recommend him to God himself. We have a fuller revelation than Noah did. You know, we've got this entire scripture, the revealed word of God. Everything God has to say to men is right here. And we just read the New Testament. How do we get in that ark? By faith, by believing God. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, by looking to him. We have no other hope for salvation. If we believe as Noah believed, we will be found in him. So how can we be given that faith? We know that faith is a gift from God. Well, there's three things that I want to look at just briefly of how we can be given that faith. And the first one is to do what you all are doing right now, and that's to sit under the gospel. We've been blessed, setting aside this morning, and this, I shouldn't even say that. It doesn't matter what I am, how weak I am. I'm no more weak than Frank. If the Lord gives you hearing, gives me hearing, if he blesses this to our hearts, my failing and mumbling and stumbling doesn't matter. But we've been blessed through the years with faithful pastors and preachers. who preach the word to us, who point us to Christ, who calls us to look away from ourselves and to look to the one source for salvation, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing that we can do, is we can make sure that we sit under the gospel. And you know, when we talk about our children, that's one of the things that we pray, is that they will choose, that the Lord will cause them to want to have that desire as they go out into this world to seek the gospel, to go somewhere where they can sit and they can listen to the gospel, where they can have the Lord Jesus Christ preach to them every week. So that's the first thing that we can do. A couple of scriptures that support that. Romans 10, verse 14. How then can they call on him in whom they have not believed? How do we believe? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. We can't tell God, we can't know God through our wisdom. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Second thing we can do is we can pray. Our Lord gave us an example of that. He himself, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed for those who would believe through the men he sent out into the world to preach the gospel. John 17, again, 20 and 21. Here's the example of prayer that our Lord gives us. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be as one, be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Prayer. Pray, Lord, put me in Christ. Father, I have no other hope. I can't go. There's nowhere else for me to go. I can't run to the highest mountain. I need to be in Christ. I need to be in the ark. So what do we pray for? Pray for faith to believe. Pray for that the grace from God to give us that faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God's grace. But just because it's a gift doesn't mean that we can't, and doesn't mean that we shouldn't ask for it. Pray for it. God, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Show me my need. Cause me to go to Christ. Cause me to cling to him. And that's not a work for salvation. That's praying is not a work. It's a confession that we have no hope outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Lord said, he told us, anything we ask of the Father, he'll give it to us. Anything we ask of his name in the Father, he will give it to us. What does that mean, to ask in the name of Christ? It means to ask for the sake of who Christ is and what he's done for his people. It means to ask, acknowledging who you are, a needy sinner, and what Christ has done. It means to ask, confessing in your heart the names of the Lord. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. He's the one we look to for deliverance. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Peace in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Wherever we turn, the Lord is there for us. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. He's the Lamb of God slain for sinners. He's the ever-living I am. So ask God for the faith to believe. Ask God to show you your need. Ask God to show you Christ in the Bible and give you a love for Him. Ask God to give you your refuge, your shelter, protection, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. One last thing to talk about. We need to pray for that for ourselves. Lord, give that to me. But don't ever stop praying for your loved ones, for your neighbors, for your children. That's something that this church does. It prays for our children. And there's nothing wrong with that. God's not going to save them for you, right? It not just because of your relationship with the Lord. He's not going to save your children. But He said to ask. And you know, the Lord had mercy and grace on Noah, but He saved his whole family. His whole family was in that ark. Let's ask the Lord to save our lives.